science.
So there's new research about our egos, the tablets we're taking and how old we're likely to get. It's my favourite part of the week, science time. Hello to Dr. Melanie Bagg from the Australian Science Media Centre. Hello.
Hello, Patricia.
A group of European scientists have discovered that over-the-counter anti-inflammatories could be increasing our chances of heart failure. What have they actually found here?
So this is what we call an observational study, because these scientists looked at nearly 10 million people and they noticed that anti-inflammatory use and heart failure occurred together. But they can't say in certainty that anti-inflammatories cause heart failure. What it does say is that we need to look at it more closely now and do dosage tests to see if anti-inflammatories actually cause heart problems and exactly what.
Okay, so are you convinced by it? Do you think it's a strong study?
It is a strong study, but again, it's really one of these that we're looking at two things and sort of saying, okay, they're having anti-inflammatories, and there were 27 different types of anti-inflammatories they found this with, so it wasn't just one or two. However, we're not actually giving them a dose and checking at all different doses that it actually causes the heart disease. Why I think this is a really important study is it allows us now to go, okay, we know that this could be a problem and we need to look a lot more carefully at this and actually work out, you know, what dose, is it a problem, is it any dose or is it a high dose, or is it just that we looked at 10 million people and they happen to be taking these and also having heart problems?
Hey, Melanie, can you stand in one spot or speak right in the phone? I'm having trouble hearing you.
Yeah. Sure.
I just want to hear you. I just want to hear you, Melanie. How much of these medications could we take before they potentially begin to pose a risk to our heart health?
That's something we don't actually know from this study because, again, it just didn't look at dosage. But it did find that a significant number, like so all of the anti-inflammatories they looked at were likely to cause, something to do with heart failure, well, not cause, but had heart failure shown. And the other thing is that the risk was much higher when anti-inflammatories were currently being used. So really, I think it's such an early study, but it is an important one because with how easily available these are, people tend to think that they're harmless because we can get them at a supermarket, at a service station, but that doesn't mean that they're not a drug just like anything else that we need to be really cautious of.
All right, let's move to another one, and this one has definitely piqued my interest. A study from Brown University has shown that bragging about yourself can pay off, but only if you know how to back it up. What does that even mean? How do you back it up? Hey, I'm awesome. Let me show you some evidence of how awesome I am.
Well, but this is actually referred to as the humility paradox, and it's where people who brag or claim to be of above average ability, so awesome, will often be seen by other people as being much more competent, but sometimes less moral than those who are humble. The only catch is, as you said, if they can't back it up, or really if evidence comes to light that they aren't as great as they said they were, it's extremely risky for them. So they completely lose all reputation and respect that they've built by carrying on about how great they are. So I guess the moral of the story is, you know, you can carry on about how great you are at something as long as you actually are that good at it.
Okay. So, you know, if you say you're good, best to be good. Don't go around saying you're good if you're not good. Okay.
No.
Got it. Going to download that.
Yeah. All right. They also people who brag much more harshly, you know, if they weren't as good. So it wasn't just a little bit of they're just carrying on. It was really harsh judgments that might affect them, you know, future jobs, future friendships, all sorts of things.
My favourite is the humble brag, personally. You know, the not bragging, but actually bragging. I think we've all been guilty of that. Hey, I'm owning it. I've done that. All right. Lastly, experts looking at ageing at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York have said humans may have reached our natural maximum age limit of 115 to 120 years. How likely is it that any of us will actually make it to 115? Sounds terrifying.
Well, yeah, that's right. So according to this recent report in Nature, which is one of the best scientific journals in the world, they think it's somewhat likely, but we probably can't go much further past that 115 to 125, and their, you know, likelihood of us living to 125 is huge. But what they have found is that they've looked at data from the human mortality database and found that people who are living longer and longer, it's actually slowed right down for a while there. And I think we all could relate to this. People seem to live longer and longer, but that's really slowed down over the last 20 years. And so now they think we've nearly got to a point where we've reached our maximum, so to speak.
So we've peaked.
That's what they're saying. Obviously, this is hotly debated with technology.
What might it be like to live with such an old body?
Well, that is a very interesting question. I think given today's standards, you know, we'd say that would be really tough because of mobility and the things that we'd be facing. But I guess what we don't know is what's around the corner with technology. So it could be things like medical technologies, but it also, you know, my mind boggles with what we might have in the way of virtual worlds and sort of what we can do, you know, without relying on our limbs and our body the way we currently do. So, you know, at the moment I think that their predictions seem very understandable to all of us. I don't think any of us want to go past 125. But, yeah, I think the future might bring something different.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how my kids would feel about that. It's a whole lot of years of having to have me in the back of the house where I plan to be. Thank you so much. That's Dr. Melanie Bagg from the Australian Science Media Centre joining us for Research Filter. You're listening to RN Drive. I'm Patricia Karvelas. In about 15 minutes from now, we're going to head to the drawing room. We're going to be talking about street art. Is Banksy here? We'll try and give you the answer.